from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
My favorite thing about Manny and working with Manny is that both of us are bebopping to the music whenever it starts playing. It's not just me. It used to be just me. Jay didn't move to the groove. I don't know about Pete. I don't know if Pete moves to the groove.
I'm a great time.
Maybe he does. Producer Pete still has a few mornings left on the show that follows ours here, Maggie and Perlaw, so he won't be joining us until after Labor Day, but he is safely home from vacation. We do have a brainstorming call, if you will, that comes up on Friday. So even when I bid you adieu. Even when I bid you ciao, adios, amigos, even when I do that in an hour, I still have some work on my plate coming up on this Friday to try to get ready for football season because, baby, it's back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are heading into the first weekend. They call it week zero of the college football season. Not far behind the NFL. We're now inside of 2 weeks until the NFL kicks off, and we will have three rookie quarterbacks on the field week number one.
Man, I'm just appreciative.
I'm appreciative as well. Did you know? Oh my gosh, you guys, we haven't done one of these in a while. I don't know if Manny can find the drop, but if he can, that's terrific. He's actually doing a great job, better than all of the other temporary producers that have filled in on the show. Manny has been very creative with our various drops. The average age of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL in 2017, older than 30. In fact, 30.3, the average age of the starting quarterbacks in 2017. Here's where we go next level. Nerd alert!
Nerd alert!
What? You found it! Why is it that you can't find Pete howling with laughter as Sean Morash nearly dies on the air here on the show? That's all I want by the end of the hour. Do you think you can find it? Chubby Bunny World Championship. Now, this is the real test for Manny. If he does this, we'll ask him to be involved in the next Chubby Bunny World Championship. How are you with stuffing marshmallows into your cheeks, Manny?
Well, I don't know about marshmallows, but I will tell you that once I won a pie-eating contest at the a gig that I had before at a day camp.
What does that have to do with stuffing marshmallows into your cheeks?
Well, I had my hands tied behind my back, so I was stuffing food into my face. So I have experience.
But you were swallowing it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, you don't eat the marshmallows. Have you not ever played Chubby Bunny at camp?
Can't say that I have, no.
Wow, that's unfortunate. Even better, though, you can be an ex-guinea pig. We missed it this year because of the various changes on the show, not having a producer now since early July, and just other stuff happening. However, we will do the Chubby Bunny World Championship if it's the last thing that I pull off before the end of my contract. Don't start any rumors. Pete was the narrator the last time we did it. Oh, man. My favorite part was hearing Pete cackle when we had a near-death experience on After Hours. So at some point before the hour is up, I believe in you, Manny. I believe in you. Back to our nerd alert about the average age of NFL QBs. N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T. He's good, isn't he? In 2023, the average starting quarterback wasn't even 28 years old. That sounded funny. The average starting QB. No, even the elite ones. Even the terrible ones. The average age of the starting QBs in the NFL last season, under 28. And now we're about to have three rookies in Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. Which of these is set up in the best position to succeed? I asked that question of our NFL analyst who joined us from the Bay Area, the second hour of the show. Maybe, just maybe, we'll bring back his answer. It's not just the three rookies, though. Anthony Richardson's 22. He's still very young. Heck, Lamar Jackson has two NFL MVP awards, and he's only 27. Patrick Mahomes, he's 29. Josh Allen, 28. Kyler Murray, he's 27. Yet we've got a few elder statesmen that are still kicking, still hanging around. Matthew Stafford's 36, Super Bowl champion. Russell Wilson, 35, 36, also a Super Bowl champion. Geno Smith, Derek Carr, 33, not Super Bowl champions. Kirk Cousins, 36, would like to win a Super Bowl with Atlanta. Man, would he be cemented in Atlanta sports history if he could help them win a Super Bowl? Aaron Rodgers, he's 40. He'll turn 41 this season. Dak, Jacoby Brissett, who's probably going to start in New England, maybe all the way through. They're both 31. But the rest are all in their 20s. Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy, Gardner Minshew, Joe Burrow, Bryce Young, naming as many as I can off the top of my head. I'm sure I've missed a few. Don't at me. The average age of the starting QBs in the NFL is about to drop even more. Deshaun Watson, is he still in his 30s? I bet he is. Still in his 30s. Justin Fields, if he ends up taking over as the starter in Pittsburgh, he's in his 20s. Let's see, I got to check out. I don't actually know how old Deshaun Watson is, but don't you worry. I got it at my fingertips. 28. He's right there in the wheelhouse. He's on it. Just as a side note, popped into my head, I can't wait to see Nick Chubb run the football again. So yeah, we're talking about a younger and younger group. What's the impact on the NFL as the average age of the starting quarterbacks drops, continues to drop? I also asked that question of our analyst who's big into film study. Will Levis in his 20s. CJ Stroud in his 20s. Justin Herbert in his 20s. Jalen Hurts, 20s. Daniel Jones, Jordan Love. Sam Darnold. He's got to be in his 20s. Gosh, it feels like forever since he was drafted. He's been through many iterations in his career. He's kicked around now quite a bunch. But with the injury to J.J. McCarthy, a 27-year-old Sam Darnold will be the starter for the Minnesota Vikings. See what I'm saying? It run the gamut. Whether they're the best in the league like Pat or whether they're guys who are turning into journeyman QBs. It's fascinating to think about what the impact on the NFL has been. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence with football now staring us in the face. We're getting the evil eye from football. Watch us or else. We're asking you, what's your favorite thing about football season? A lot of you sharing your traditions, experiences. Some of you are with me. I'd say it's the food. It's not the weather this early in the year, because it's still summertime, summertime. We've still got a few weeks until it's officially autumn. And even then, in many parts of the country, it doesn't start to feel like fall or feel colder for quite a while. But I love your favorite traditions and experiences. And I also do love that some of you are getting into arguments on our social media page about who's got the better marching band. See, that's my favorite thing. We argue as football fans. The great debates. Speaking of college, we had broken the story with you on our last show. Kirk Ferentz of Iowa, longest tenured head coach in FBS, suspended for the first game of the season, and then we heard from him on Thursday in a press conference that was previously scheduled.
I want to apologize to our players, coaching staff, university leadership, and our incredible fans. 26 years as a head coach. This is the first potential level 2 violation that I've had, and it won't happen again. It's my plan to coach the team during the week, and as of midnight next Friday, I'll be removed for 24 hours, won't be in the stadium with them. And, so that's the plan. Seth Wallace will be the acting head coach during the day next week, Saturday, and I'm confident he and the entire staff will do a great job on that. So earlier this year, became aware of a potential NCAA recruiting violation in our program, and the issue involved a communication with the player and his family prior to them entering the portal, or the player entering the portal.
So you hear Kirk Ferentz say, and he didn't name the player, though we know who the player is. It's quarterback Cade McNamara. He transferred from Michigan, and it was right after he entered the portal that he announced his intention to transfer. And so multiple sources have pointed to him, even though Ferentz didn't name him specifically. He says, more than 4 decades as a coach, my first potential level 2 infraction. And he's going to miss one game, as well as another coach of his who will miss a game. And that's the season opener between Iowa and Illinois State. But both coaches can return for the rivalry game against Iowa State. Always when schools and programs are self-reporting and going proactive by taking disciplinary action themselves, that generally means they know it's coming down the pike. I didn't even know it was possible to commit recruiting violations anymore. I thought that was a thing of the past. But I do appreciate that we heard from Kirk Ferentz in his own words. So we've got Florida State and Georgia Tech coming up this weekend. Maybe we'll give you a little taste, a little something-something to whet your appetite before the hour is up. But what is your favorite thing about college football, favorite thing about the NFL, just in general? Why do you love football season? It's because your team's going to win the Super Bowl, right? I knew it. I absolutely knew it. We saw Anthony Richardson on the football field on Thursday night. He's trying to get back in the flow. Of course, had his rookie season truncated by the shoulder injury. The Colts decided to go uber cautious, keep him out the rest of the year. Honestly, it reminds me a little bit of what the Vikings are doing with J.J. McCarthy. The fact that he likely could have his knee ligament repaired and get back on the field. But they've decided, why? Better to be uber cautious and allow him the time to heal. And I remember it was a bit of a surprise when Richardson was declared out for the season. But he gets out there. Now, the Bengals were not using their starting defense. But on the first series against the Bengals, he leads the Colts to a touchdown drive. It was downhill from there. I didn't watch all the rest, I want to be honest. But according to Shane Steichen, who has his QB around what he hopes for a full season here, it was a promising first drive that gave fans reasons to hope. Hope springs eternal in the preseason.
Offensively, that first drive was awesome. The way we came out and performed offensively, defensively was great. And I'll go back and look at the tape, some stuff to teach off, you know, those next couple of drives. But it was great to get everyone out there, get them running around. And everyone came out, I think, really clean, which is good for week one, Houston.
Decent. Got two touchdowns. No, I'm joking. the interception, man, that was a tough one. You know, communication right there. Granson saw something, and I saw something else. You know, we just got to be on the same page right there. The fumble, man, they preach two hands on the ball in the pocket, you know, almost every day in the QB room. Right. I know they're going to tell me that, you know, when we get back in the meetings in the next couple of days. But you know, I feel like it was a decent game, just me, you know, being back out there, just filling it out.
So it makes a joke about the fact that he had two touchdowns. Only one of them for his own team. But yeah, did have a 9-yard scoring pass. And against the Bengals twos, you can go out there, you can kind of stretch those muscles again, see what kind of muscle memory pops up. It's going to be a little bit before we see him settle into a rhythm again. But that's what the first month is about. And actually, we were having this conversation, Manny and I, in the newsroom, I think Wednesday night, is thinking about the number of teams that really haven't used their starters at all. And this is fairly common now with preseason. Just the fact that that first month, we're going to have some fun scores.
Yeah.
6-2.
Oh, fun.
You think we might get a 6-2?
If we do, please, no.
We're going to talk about it.
If it is Sunday.
We're going to talk about it.
Sunday at 1 o'clock, please. Please don't have me watch a 6-2 football game on a Sunday night or a Monday night. I'll even, you know what?
No, that's when they end up. They end up landing on Sunday nights all the time, it seems like now. Well, or Thursdays.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I'll compromise. We'll keep the trend going of bad Thursday night football.
Now, see, I don't mind the Monday nights because we've got the Monday night Mannings. And now it's Bill Belichick. How much more interesting to pay attention to Peyton and Eli and Bill when the game is awful?
Omaha!
Favorite thing about football, peeps. And if you missed it, a conversation with analyst Ted Wynn of The Athletic joined us from the Bay Area earlier in the show. Maybe bring back part of that. But I cannot, in good conscience, ignore the boars of summer. We're still in summertime, which means baseball's got a little... Get a little love. Well, see, that's just not who I am. I'm being goofy now. Nah, I do because it's my job. But now and then some of you thank me for talking about your teams. Whatever makes you happy. I do, in fact, want you to be happy listening to the show. It's a funny Friday. It's a football Friday. A footy Friday. Except for that would be soccer for most of the world. We're contrarians here on After Hours. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Deep down the right field line. Brennan's only going to watch. It is gone onto the porch. Aaron Judge, he strikes again as he turns up the slug in the fourth. Home run number 48, 1-0 Yankees.
I feel like we're on it. We are ahead of the game with Aaron Judge. Going to get to 50 before August is done, which means September will be a watch party. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. See, Aaron Judge single-handedly keeping baseball relevant even as football season kicks off. Not that there aren't good division races. There definitely are. But let's be honest. Once football starts, baseball tends to fade a little bit until we get to October in terms of national headlines. But Aaron Judge could change that. Shohei Ohtani as well. Right now, it seems like those two guys have a bead on the MVP awards. I don't know how much drama there is when it comes to those two. If both the Yankees and Dodgers continue on their trajectories, and those two players individually do as well. And that doesn't mean anything. We don't hand out those awards now anyway, but they also mean nothing for the postseason. But it is crazy to think about these two guys and how they continue to raise the bar. Remember, Aaron Judge, two seasons ago, last year he wasn't healthy, but two seasons ago he had 62 and set the new American League home run record. What if he hits 60 this year as well?
If it comes with a ring and a lot of fun in the playoffs, and definitely that'd be cool. But like I said the other day, I'm just trying to do whatever I can each day to put ourselves in a good position to win a ball game. And, you know, especially these games against Cleveland, who, you know, we'll definitely see down the road, and we're fighting for the best, you know, best record in the AL.
Look, anything's possible with him. You know, I think he just wants to be great every day and help us win. So nothing would surprise me.
Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone following that call with Justin Shackle on the Yankees Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Of course, we're going to be paying attention. And every time the Yankees will end up on national TV, right now they do have the best record in the American League by a skosh. So every time they'll be on national TV, that will be the storyline. But I do think that even with football encroaching, it's actually something that's worthy of a flag in most games, but this is what football does. Come late August, early September, the game is a bully. Football's a bully, especially the NFL. And so everything else tends to take a bit of a back seat. But I know Aaron Judge could wield a very powerful tool in keeping some of the spotlight on baseball.
Ow! Ow!
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, a couple of other baseball headlines that are worth paying attention to. Do you know on June 18th, The Houston Astros were 10 games back in the AL West. 10 games back. They started out 7-19. And in the middle of June, they were looking up. Up, up, up. It's way up there. At the Seattle Mariners atop that West Division. Since June 18th, the Mariners have been relatively awful. They're 13 games below 500. So 20-33 since that point. And not only have they lost their entire lead atop the West Division, they're now trailing the Astros by, I think it's 5.5 games. It doesn't really matter at this point. And Scott Service has paid the price. But before we move on, I thought it would be proper, fitting tribute to Scott Service, to remember that moment in 2022 when the Mariners had finally ended what was the longest playoff drought in pro sports. He was on the field. He was addressing the Mariners fans. It was all love.
When Jerry and I came here 7 years ago, we had a goal. We needed to end the effing drought. We did it.
I know that's got to sting Mariners fans. I'm sorry. I seriously thought that they were going to be able to build on that. I thought that they would use that as a foundation and a stepping stone, and that the best days were still to come. I honestly did. And they started out playing, well, they started out taking advantage of the fact that both the Texas Rangers and the Astros were playing below average baseball. But they couldn't ever translate that into some consistency themselves. Here's the crazy thing about the Mariners. They have the best collective ERA in all of baseball. Their pitching staff from front to back, so both starters and relievers, best ERA in all of Major League Baseball. But they also have one of the worst batting averages as a team in all of baseball. But in 2022, they had 90 wins, and they appeared to be well on their way as establishing themselves as a team to be reckoned with in the American League.
This has been some kind of season. It has been a long time. Thank you to everybody that is here tonight and every Mariners fan in the Pacific Northwest. You brought the electricity tonight to this building, and it was unbelievable. You have made a difference with this team, and I thank you.
Wasn't that long ago, not even 2 years ago, but Scott Service fired by the Mariners on Thursday. Wah, wah, wah. Meanwhile, the Astros, they have won 9 straight road games. They are surging. Again, to go from 10 back to 5.5 up is a huge deal. It's not just them, but the fact that they were able to go into Baltimore, start this series with a huge win, and they're capitalizing on the fact that Baltimore is in an offensive slump right now. Corbin Burnes, he's also struggled, but really not a whole lot of run support there. But yeah, the Astros right now, I don't know if they're scaring anyone yet, but they're getting healthier and they're surging. So after starting 7-19, the Astros have a healthy lead atop the American League West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Paul Skeens, by the way, he was pitching on Thursday. Pirates had a shutout, and they end up tacking on 6 runs in the 5th inning. So they have a big victory there as well. There's been some talk, though, that he might have major competition for Rookie of the Year now. So it seemed like he was running away with it, but what about Jackson Merrill and the Padres? Cooled off a little bit the last couple of days. but still should be a real good race in the National League West. All right, and back to football. What is the impact of so many young quarterbacks on the NFL as a whole? An interesting question. Three rookie QBs prepping for week one. And also, speaking of, well, I was going to say speaking of week one, but that doesn't work because in college football, they call it week zero. Boo. Ruined my entire segue. A little bit of college football, a little bit of NFL. We're sprinkling it in. Plus your favorite things about football season. Oh, we're going to cram it in before the top of the hour. Do you doubt me? Are you not entertained? Why am I so weird this morning? Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Ooh, remember the draft in Detroit? 750,000 people on hand. And they got quite a show when it came to quarterbacks. Number one, Caleb Williams. Number two, Jaden Daniels. Number three, Drake May, who still could end up starting some games for the Patriots later in the season, though Jacoby Brissett will be out there week one, barring some unforeseen change. Michael Penix, number eight. That was a huge shock for the Atlanta Falcons, grabbing the quarterback of the future. J.J. McCarthy was 12, right? Bo Nix, 13? Don't at me. Well, at me if I am off. But it was a lot of QBs, and three of them will be starting come week number one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just a couple of quick minutes from my conversation with analyst Ted Wynn of The Athletic. Because, as I've noted, the average age of quarterbacks in the NFL starting QBs are now under 28 years old. And it's going to drop even more in 24. Oh, ha, that rhymed. Because of the fact that Anthony Richardson will be back on the field at 22. And these three rookies. So I asked Ted, who joined us from the Bay Area, which one of these rookies is in the best position to succeed right away?
By far, it's got to be Caleb Williams, who I think has one of the best rookie situations in a long time. I mean, you have three receivers that, you know, could be potential number one receivers. Keenan Allen's coming off a career year, so there are some reports that he looks a little big and slowing down, but we'll see if that, you know, comes to fruition when the season starts. DJ Moore just had a career year last year. And Rome Odunze would have been the top receiver picked in a lot of drafts, but this year was a particularly special receiver draft. And that offensive line, they spent a lot of time rebuilding it. So I think, you know, they should be pretty decent this year. I think, you know, they upgraded a play caller. So it's just a very well-built team that's ready to go. I'm very excited to see how Caleb Williams performs on this offense, throwing to those level of pass catchers.
How do you like the fit with Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, who are starting their eighth different QB in eight consecutive seasons?
It remains to be seen. I think Cliff Kingsbury has had a record with running quarterbacks, and they had some success in Arizona with Kyler Murray, but there's also a lot left to be desired. Sometimes the offense has relied too much on the running ability of Kyler Murray and his ability to create after the play, and we know Jaden Daniel has that in his bag, but do you want to rely on that so much, especially earlier in his career? And Jaden Daniels, his stats under pressure dramatically dropped in college at LSU. He had one of the best offensive lines in the country, and obviously he was throwing to two receivers that would get drafted in the first round, and now he's going to a situation where that's a lot different. Commanders' offensive line could be one of the worst in the NFL coming into next year. So we're going to see how he handles pressure early on. Yeah, and like I said, there's some question marks with Kingsbury, and can he be more complete, a better offensive coordinator in his second go-around in the NFL? So to me, that's a questionable fit. We'll see what happens. Jaden Daniels is obviously extremely talented, but as we know, situation is everything with these quarterbacks. We've seen a lot of very talented quarterbacks kind of flounder in bad situations, so that's one that's up in the air to me.
It's interesting to have been thinking about the average age of quarterbacks. It's dropping. It's now under the age of 30, very much so, actually. What's the impact on the NFL as you look at it?
It makes the game a little bit simpler because you're not trying to overload these young rookies with a lot. And I think the big impact is scoring has gone down. It was a long time where scoring just kept on trending up. But in the last couple of years, scoring has trended downwards because the NFL game is hard. Part of it is defenses are trying to play more two deep shells and try to contain these offenses. But another part of it is just, you know, you have rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks that are just trying to learn the game. They're making mistakes. Games just haven't looked as clean as it was when you had, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees dicing up these defenses. So, you know, we have a lot of guys learning. I'm optimistic about the future. And I think a lot of these guys are going to make amazing plays and be great players. And a league as a whole, we're kind of just seeing these guys budding and learning.
The impact of young quarterbacks, as in mid-20s, the number's going to drop below what it is now, 27.9 years of age, which is kind of funny to say. But it's going to continue to come down. More and more NFL teams are determined that they would have a franchise quarterback. And if they swing and miss, well, they're going to keep trying. And they're more impatient because of what's happening with the teams that have elite QBs, like Patrick Mahomes, even like the Bills, though they've not capitalized on the Josh Allen era just yet. Lamar Jackson. The idea that you would pay these guys $55 million per year, and that's a hefty price tag. Not that NFL owners can't afford it or teams can't afford it. Plenty of room under the salary cap if you can get creative. But if you're going to invest that kind of money and the years, then think about what happened with the Broncos giving that contract to Russell Wilson before he ever took a snap that mattered. It blew up in their face. And so you need to, before you give that kind of money, be sure that what you have is the real deal. Otherwise, teams balk at it. And we know what happens when, again, when they pay the wrong guy. The Giants, they paid Daniel Jones based on the one really good year that in large part was due to Saquon Barkley. And now they're kind of stuck with him. He got injured last season. And now they're hoping that he comes back and he gives them something steady. But that's the thing. Now, I know it's really scary to let go of a quarterback who's maybe solid, he's mediocre, just above average. But if you're going to pay him that kind of money, you're going to hitch your wagon to his star, then teams want to be sure. Otherwise, they'll take their chance in the draft, right? Especially if it's a draft like the one we just had. And so, yes, younger and younger. The elder statesman, that's Aaron Rodgers at 40. Kirk Cousins at 36, Matthew Stafford at 36, Russell Wilson at 35. So three of those four are Super Bowl champions. I would say one of them is a Hall of Famer, right? So that's changed too. For a while, we had 6-7 future Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the league all at once, but it's not the case now. Well, I shouldn't say that. There obviously are future Hall of Famers among the young kids. The kids, quote unquote. We just don't know which ones they are. Now, outside of Pat, Pat definitely will be a Hall of Famer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. College football kicking off this weekend. That means a lot of families will be making their plans around when their favorite team plays or when the big game gets on the field. Florida State, number 10. Against Georgia Tech. This is one of the highlight games of the first weekend. Gosh. This is in Dublin, Ireland. One of my favorite places in the world. I love Ireland. Got to go when I was in college and have never forgotten. Most beautiful shades of green I've ever seen in my life. And so it's Florida State. It's Georgia Tech. This is obviously a completely different type of way to kick off the season, and yet something for these teams to look forward to, this experience that will never be replicated, right? But even before the travel, getting set for this game, because it matters, even with the expanded playoff, these various new power conferences, now it's the Power Four instead of the Power Five, the landscape is constantly changing. It's shifting sand, and so you got to take care of your business. And that includes Florida State with DJ Uangalele. Uyangalele. Uyangalele. It's actually fun to say when you practice. Uyangalele.
Yeah, I was saying it in my head as I was spelling it out phonetically for you on the screener.
Uyangalele. Because I was going with... Wait, don't tell me. Hold on. I was missing... Earlier when I was saying it, I was going with Ugalele. And I was missing the N. And so you kind of spelled it out for me phonetically. I love how you outed me too, by the way. You can't... I mean, people can't see what's on the computer screen. So Manny decides... This is why Manny is not the full-time producer. Manny decides he's going to go ahead and tell everyone that he had to help me out. Nice. Should I go ahead and tell people all the times I've had to help you out over the past several weeks? Don't. Yes, I was going with Ugalele, but you're saying it's Uyangalele. It's been a while since I've had to pronounce his name. That's what happens when football comes back. I forget things. Like, who's the starting quarterback for the back into football mode? Here we go. So, yeah, he's learning the playbook even as they're traveling to Dublin.
I feel like I've done a good job. I feel like I've learned the offense. I feel like I've definitely gotten more comfortable with it, with all the motions, the installs, especially going out in the game plan. You know we're going to run for the game. While fall camp, spring ball, you have, like, a huge variety of plays you got to remember. When game plan starts to get shrunken down, you know the plays are going to be called on certain down and distances. So it's been a lot easier, and it's been fun, man. I've had a good job. I've had a fun time. Just being able to learn the offense, be able to game plan with the coaches, be able to understand how Coach Norvell, Coach Atkins, Coach Tokart thinks. It's been a fun process, though.
You know what's interesting about him, and he is a perfect example of how the transfer portal has changed college football, but really all of college sports, but football in the spotlight right now. This is his third team for which he will start. Clemson, Oregon State, and now back to the East Coast, the Southeast, and Florida State. And as much as that may sound crazy for a college student, it's becoming more and more typical. He's a dual threat guy, as is Georgia Tech's Haynes King, a little easier to pronounce. Not nearly as challenging. And so it could be dynamic, lots of fireworks. He has played a lot of football. We'll go with DJ. DJ's played a lot of football. But still, as he talks about, you got to get acclimated to a new playbook, new terminology, new voices in your head, new receivers, new everything, new line. So as much as I know the transfer portal gives players freedom and control over their own college careers, where it used to be, and I hated this rule, I never liked it, even before it got eclipsed, even before the kibosh was put on the sit-out rule, transfers used to have to sit out an entire season, lose a year of eligibility if they would change schools. Thought that was ridiculous. Why would you punish them for changing schools if there's a better option for their education, a better option for their playing careers? Why would you force them to sit out a year? And so I never did like that, but this is extreme. It's more like what you would see in free agency in pro sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Christopher says on Facebook, just call the FSU quarterback DJU. That's what we call him. All right. I wish I had tried that first. Just DJ. Like many people just call him Tua, although after years of practice now, it's pretty easy to say. Rolls off the tongue. Jeff says, I go to my best friend's house each year for a small Super Bowl party, dogs included. I don't remember the last time I went to a Super Bowl party, but that's his favorite tradition about football season. All right, Manny. So we've managed to dig it up out of the archives. Producer Pete, he'll be joining us in about a week and a half.
I'm a great time.
This is what he brings to the table, a cackle of laughter. Started. This is Sean's Chubby Bunny attempt.
Chubby Bunny.
No, absolutely not. It's got to be audible, man.
No.
All right.
One more chance.
Chubby Bunny.
No, that's it. You're done. He's out. I'm a great time.
Oh, God.
Wait, what happened to double digits?
I can't.
Kobe's just doing so good.
Oh my gosh, Sean talked about 11 or 12 and he gets to 4.5. Oh, and my ears running down. Okay, Sean nearly died, but you guys don't worry, he's still alive.
Oh.
Between me and producer Pete, the laughter is going to be off the chain. I should never say that. Don't. I'm not cool enough to say anything like that. It's OG terminology. Did you hear Pete cackling? Wait. All right. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your football. We're back Sunday night. Eek! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.